I'm Gabe.
I'm James.
I'm McKenna.
And I'm Ella. And today in our podcast, we'll be talking about part one of Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. But before we get into that, I kind of wanted to talk about expectations and how it kind of relates back to my life. So in about sixth grade, I had this really good friend who, she was very outgoing and had her own sense of style. And then she got Instagram, and I noticed a quick change in her style, and she lost her individuality. She really was just trying to do what she thought was cool. She didn't act like herself anymore, and I noticed her, like, personality reflected a lot of what I was seeing online. And she didn't act like herself at all anymore, and we kind of drifted apart after that.
So, do you guys want to do try to summarize part one in 1 minute?
Yeah, let's try. Alright, Gabe, you go first.
Okay, so, the main things that happened in part one of Fahrenheit 451 was that first, Carice kind of steals Montag's happiness by questioning him about things like that, and then his wife almost commits suicide. Where Reese, after that, is then claimed to be dead, but Montag starts to question things anyway. And then a lady burns herself along with a bunch of books, and Montag steals a book to read. And then Captain Beatty tells Montag what happened before books were outlawed. And then Montag goes to read some books that he collected.
Alright, so what I wrote is that Guy Montag lives in a world where books are illegal and everyone is expected to think the same way, where firemen burn books and houses with them. As a fireman himself, Montag thinks within the norm, all until a young girl named Clarice makes him start to question everything. He becomes even more curious about the contents of books when a woman chooses to be burned with them. At the end of part one, Montag begins to read the 20 or so books he has collected from houses and then hidden so nobody will find.
So a theme that I kind of noticed that would maybe fit both of those summaries and so far in the book is that the expectations that society places on people can affect how they are viewed by others. As, like, if the norm is kind of to, like, wear an orange shirt and you're not wearing an orange shirt, then, I mean, you may be viewed as an outcast or you, like, maybe you're not even, smart enough because you don't know that you have to wear an orange shirt. And, like, that can kind of be related back to kind of the Nazi youth and, like, showing that if you weren't part of the Nazi youth, you were kind of viewed as less intelligent and, like, less capable. And I think that kind of fits in because, like, in Fahrenheit 451, if you, like, feel that you, like, need to think, like, as an individual and not as, like, a whole society, then, like, you're kind of selfish and you don't, like, enjoy others and you don't like care about their well-being in a way.
Yeah, I really agree with that, and I think it relates to Fahrenheit 451 because they viewed Clarice as weird because she had like different thoughts from what she was told to have.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that too. I think that she was definitely like viewed as different just because she was like thought as an like an individual thinker, and like a kind of example from that is that like she had to like think of herself as like crazy so that she could like think like individually and kind of think the thoughts that what would be normal today.
Yeah, it was almost like an excuse for her to think that the way she was because of the expectations placed on her. That's what made sense, is that she was just crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And while you guys were talking about that, I reminded me of some quotes in the book. So this is from page 5, where Clarice asked Montag, she goes, "Do you ever read any of the books you burn?" He laughed, "That's against the law." And that just made me realize that he thinks it's funny that you would ever think to go outside of the norm. And that made me realize just how like impactful these expectations are, is that it seems just like unbelievable to be doing something that nobody else does. And then on page 57, when Beatty was talking about Clarice, I also thought this was connecting back to the theme. She goes, he said, "The girl, she was a time bomb. The family had been feeding her subconscious, I'm sure, from what I saw of her school and record. She didn't want to know how a thing was done, but why. That can be embarrassing. You ask why to a lot of things, and you wind up very unhappy indeed if you keep at it. The poor girl's better off dead. And I thought that did a really good job of, like, connecting back to our theme, because it talks all about how everybody views her as so weird, and he said she's better off dead to, like, because she doesn't fit the expectation, because she goes outside of the norm. People view her as crazy and what she thinks is wrong, all because of this norm that society has created that she doesn't fit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's like, she said that it's weird that she asks why something happens. Like, I feel like now that's like a normal question to ask, but then they're like, why would you even care about that?
Yeah, it's like, almost going back all the way to these expectations. This expectation is you don't ask, like, why, you just need to know the facts, and then you should be happy with that. It's basically, they're expecting to be happy with the information they give you, happy thinking just one way, and that you shouldn't be thinking any other way, because that'll take away the happiness. That's weird. That is against what people believe is right.
Yeah.
And I'd say that, like, in nowadays society, like, it's like we have a democracy here in the United States, and we can kind of question the laws that are placed upon us, and like we can amend our constitution and stuff like that. And like back then, not in this like Fahrenheit 451 book, it's like a dictatorship, and like the propaganda that is like placed upon these people caused them to never like think anything, or to like never question the government or like what's placed upon them. Like, it's been this way forever, and this is a way that's best for us as humans.
They're almost blindly following them, because that's what they've always done. That's what they've been taught is correct. So if they go against it, then that's like compromising all their happiness and what they know. So if they were to go against that, everything would be unfamiliar, and I bet it would be very scary to have to just do something that you've never done before. That's so drastically different from your everyday life.
Yeah.
What I find interesting about that, however, kind of connecting back to how it's like a dictatorship, is that when the captain person was talking to Montag, he said that it wasn't like some big declaration by the government that things would be this way. It was more of the people and the minorities that made that happen, which I find kind of interesting, since most dictatorships, it's usually only one really powerful person at the top instead of a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I can kind of connect that, because on like page 49, Montag is like saying that, well, Clarice Esson, you should have thought of that before becoming a fireman. And he looks like, thought, he exclaimed, was I given a choice? My grandfather and father were firemen. In my sleep, I ran after them. So that kind of shows that they, like, there's no other option for them. It's like, you think this way, or, like, you don't think
at all. You have to fit this mold to be accepted in society.
Yeah, like, if you don't, then you're, like, gonna be viewed as crazy, and you're, like, not successful, and, I mean, no one will kind of like you. Yeah.
And somewhere in the book, Clarice was talking about her school, and she doesn't go there anymore, but she said when she did, all they did was, like, play a video, and they would just tell them facts, but no one was allowed to ask questions or anything. And that's why she didn't want to go there, because, like, she wasn't allowed to know why things were happening, or, like, any facts about anything, really. They just told her.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, definitely a major part, because, like, in today's society, like, we learn a lot of stuff through kind of mistakes and trial and error, and and they kind of only tell them, like, what's regimented. They don't tell them, like, oh, and we thought that, like, this would work, but in the end, this actually worked, and we should learn from our mistakes. And that way, it just, like whatever is placed upon you is, like, what is correct what you should follow.
And I think that would be hard. But also, at the same time, it could make your life a lot easier, because there's no room for you to have to think, like, individual thinking, or have to worry about, like, if your thoughts are wrong, if you're following what everybody else is doing. Like, it's quite obvious what is expected of you, and it should be pretty easy to follow those. So I think it takes a little bit of a burden off of you if you follow those, but it adds a ton on you if you don't, and it takes away your creativity, I think, and really what your free thinking. And it could be a burden, but it also could make your life a whole lot easier. But if you don't follow these norms, obviously it's going to make your life harder.
Yeah. And I... Oh, sorry, Gabe.
Although it would probably make your life easier, I would just kind of like to point out how it says that all the people that, like, came out of school were just runners, jumpers, racers, kinkers, grabbers, snatchers, flyers, and swimmers instead of, like, people like examiners and critics and imaginative creators, and how the word intellectual became a swear word. Mm-hmm. And so that basically means that no one's really thinking for themselves, or barely even thinking at all for that matter. Everyone's just dumb and they're progressing a lot more slower, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone with intelligence is kind of locked away and mm-hmm. forced to become dumb as everyone else.
Because, like, in today's society, or, like, in their society, they have, like, this box. Whereas in, like, in our real life, we are encouraged to think outside the box, where if you do it there, then you're considered weird, and that is, like, almost bad, and it's, like, harmful to the people around you.
And I think Ray Bradbury is, like, kind of trying to impose that they're just trying to make everything, like, really easy for each other, and, like, they, like, just progress
like
so
artificial
much.
Happiness
yeah, they, like, progress so much that, like, all they want is, like, eternal sleep. They take sleeping pills. Like, they just do a ton of things that makes their life
easier.
They
distract themselves.
Yeah, and they don't ever, like, go through any hardships, so they can never learn, like, mm-hmm. from themselves.
Okay, so we're going to end off with a question, and for my question for part one is, why had Montag never questioned if burning books was the right thing to do before he met Clarice?
All right, so I think this can all go way back to expectations, is that he was never given another thing to think. He was given one mold, one perfect way to think, and of course he didn't question it because that was wrong. That was not okay.
Yeah, and, like, he'd never met anybody before that was, like, different from the norm. Mm-hmm. He'd never met anybody who thought their own thoughts not what people were telling them to think. And when he met Clarice, he was like, oh, like, I don't have my own mind, basically.
It's kind of like this running metaphor of, like, the fire, and Clarice is, like, the match. And she starts, like, this spark in Montag, because before, obviously, he was just in the society where they thought one way, and he thought that way too, and he'd never been given a reason not to think that way until Clarice came and told him to, or, like, didn't really tell him to, she questioned what his thinking was and, like, what he thought.
Like, she asked him questions, like, why do you do this? And he's mm-hmm. like, well, I don't really know. I guess I've never thought about that before.
It opened up his mind to a brand new way of thinking. Do you guys have anything you want to add?
I would just like to put in how Clarice kind of gave him a reason to think about things like that, because before, there was no reason for him to think about other things mm-hmm. or question anything. And like you said, it was frowned upon too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, more hated.
Yeah.
So, but Clarice kind of gave him a reason to start thinking.
Yeah.
And now that's taking on, and he's got to.
And, like, another question that can, like, kind of go off of that, it's kind of like, how does Clarice defy expectations in a way? And, like, how does she kind of go against what everyone else is doing?
Yeah, why is that kind of either, like, as wrong or a threat?
Yeah.
And I think it's because how quickly she changed Montag's thinking, how quickly that could spread, this idea could spread, and take away what they call, like, take away their happiness, take away their sense of peace and knowing, and, like, they feel comfortable because they feel like they've understood everything, they know what's happening in their life, but taking that away creates this fear that there's more stuff that they don't know and that they're unaware of.
Yeah, it's like the fear of the unknown, and like, they've been content and happy with what they've had, and they've never thought more or less of it, and now that Clarice is kind of imposing these new, like, oh, we should think for ourselves, we should question what's placed upon us, mm-hmm. and now they're kind of, like, uncertain about each other.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary to change everything that you once thought was right. So I think, unless you guys have anything else to add, that this is a good stopping point. And we will be here again. Check back into our next podcast, where we'll be going over and analyzing part 1 and 2 of Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury.